Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today I think we have a very important and serious show on about something that no one ever talks about, but it affects all of us, whether we know it or not, and that's the safety of children and the fact that children are literally on the forefront of being victimized. It's something that is in plain sight sometimes, and I wanted to have a guest on who could speak about this. I was fortunate enough to hear her speak at a conference that I was speaking at a couple of months ago. And her name is Toni Clark. And she and her husband have created an organization called Defenders for Children. And they are advocates for saving children and exposing child abuse and child trafficking. And they have a novel way of doing it, and I think everybody needs to know about that. And I'm really, really like to welcome you to the show, Ms. Clark. It's a pleasure to have you.
Hello. Well, thank you for inviting me on the show. I'm excited to talk to you and your listeners and let them learn about our exciting program.
Well, let's start off from the beginning. I mean, this is something that touches everybody around the world. How did you find out what made you look into this troubling aspect of our society and then want to do something about it?
Well, it actually found me. I was sitting in a meeting one day when I had another company that was out there at a network event, and I heard a DSS worker come out and speak, and he mentioned that the town that we live in had high levels of child sexual abuse. They were one of the highest in the state, and I am located in Greenville, South Carolina. And if many people know, Greenville is a very beautiful city, fast-growing city, and there's just a secret here. And when I heard the stats, I was very upset by it and realized that we need to do something about it. And the we was myself and others around me, and then we started realizing that it's up to all of us to work on this together. And so we formed Defenders for Children because, you know, child abuse is not about the law enforcement, not about the doctors. It's about all of us doing what we can to make an impact to lower the numbers down.
And how many, do you have any numbers or estimate of how many children, throughout the country, are there any hot spots where this activity goes on more than somewhere else?
Oh, well, you know, depends on if we're talking about trafficking or if you're talking about child sexual abuse. Child sexual abuse is definitely everywhere. I mean, it's in, you know, the cities, it's in very rural areas, it's everywhere. Trafficking is on more of the hotspot areas, on the bigger cities, as like you're in Atlanta, mm-hmm. New York, the whole corridor going down, even though it's all connected. But, you know, statistically, you know, the stats are changing a lot these days on how they're putting the children and the cases into different categories. You know, some people would say that one out of three girls are at risk of being sexually abused. And then they'll say one out of 10 children will be sexually abused. So it's all on which stats you look at. Either way, it's extremely high. And when we get a look at also, these are numbers of reports. So there's a lot of children that are not being helped. And there's a lot of adults that are not reporting what's happening to their children or what happened to them when they were a child. So statistics is always hard. It really is. But I could just tell you it's ridiculously high, and we need to work hard on bringing them down.
Now, in terms of you just differentiated child abuse versus trafficking, it's a worldwide phenomenon. Am I correct? It's not just the United States?
Oh, it's everywhere. I mean, it's worldwide, as you said. But the United States is one of the leading countries that purchases children and, you know, and purchases child pornography. So we are a huge culprit behind this evil act that's going on with our children. One stat, you're talking about stats, one is estimated that at least 100,000 children are bought and sold for sex in the U.S. every year, with as many as 300,000 children in danger of being trafficked each year. So, and you got to keep in mind, too, a lot of times we think of, you know, of this as being that child that's kidnapped out of the mall and sold out there. Mm-hmm. These numbers include, you know, let's just say a family member who is taking photos of a child and selling the child for drugs or selling the child to a friend for money, you know, just different reasons within your neighborhood or your neighbor. It could be somebody who is, you know, addicted to child pornography and they want to create their own videos. This way they can receive new videos. So that's all part of the whole terrible system that's going on out there, and it's just growing. Unfortunately, you know, the internet has really fed into it, made it easier for the pornography and the trafficking to broaden and to also to sell the children. So it's a very tough fight, very tough, but doable. If we all work together, it's doable, and that's what we got to look at.
I absolutely agree.
We can make changes. You know, we can definitely make some changes. So, yeah, it's pretty scary.
You know, it really strikes me that we spend all this energy on cutting down on free speech and hate speech, but where's the outrage with this going on? I mean, if we spend half as much energy on taking these websites down and working to expose these people who are doing this instead of, you know, not liking someone's freedom of speech and having them removed from the internet or shut up, I mean, it just seems like we're distracted and spending our energy on things that really don't matter.
Well, that's because it's our fault as a nation and the people. And I'm going to point it more towards women, too. I feel that the women need to start taking a stand against this. Because, you know, you saw the Me Too movement that went out there, and I watched it, but they were not talking about this topic. It was very little. Very minute part. And it's like, we need to stand strong and just say, this is enough to, we need to protect our children. We need to stop this child pornography. We need to stop all this from happening because it's protecting ourselves as well and the future of our nation. What kind of nation do we want to be? I mean, if we don't take control of this, I always just say an evil, it's just an evil feed that's going through our world. We're going to lose. We really are, because it is hurting in so many different areas. So it's more than just a child being abused. It's what happens to that child afterwards as well. You know what I mean? And, you know, because, you know, we got to realize, you know, it starts with the children. You know, our future as a nation, it's our children. As we watch all the violence increasing, we're watching the drugs increasing, teen pregnancy, mm-hmm. You know, the gang activity, rape, mental health, all these things are going on, prison numbers. And it's like, you know, high percentage in these categories are children that never got the help. They were abused, raped, whatever. You know, some kind of traumatic experience. It could be also physical abuse, domestic abuse, witness to domestic abuse. And without the help and without them seeing that people care and want to try to stop this from happening, we're going to lose. We really are. And we have to change. We need to say no more. We need to come together and just say, this is enough and it's time to shut it down. And that's just the way Defenders for Children looks at it. It's time to shut it all down, you know. And how can we do it? It's everybody that's listening to start giving their voice to help. If, you know, there's so many things have already changed remarkably by people coming together. Why can't we change this? Why can't we demand to clean up the internet? Why can't we demand to stop child pornography and any kind of pornography from going into our children's phones? A lot of kids are, you know, are witnessing these things starting at the age 7, 6, 7, 8 years old, are seeing horrific pornography. I mean, we're not talking about pornography from years ago where you might just see, you know, a photo of a naked woman. It is direct, horrible acts that would totally traumatize a child because they can't handle it. So it's something we need to find ways to shut it down and make it very difficult. Make it more difficult for the perpetrators and to get on these sites and to feed and to share whatever they are doing. We need to shut it down. And it is possible. And if anybody tells me it's not, I do not believe it. It's just a matter of asking for it. And obviously with a large group of people together. If anybody wants to meet in Washington, D.C., let's do it. Let's stand on the lawn. Let's fight for the children. Shut it down.
And this is something that should go across all, cut across every swath of our society because it affects everybody. And there's nobody who can sit there and say that it's a partisan issue. On that note, let's take our first break. You're listening to Living in the Solution. Welcome back to Living in Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Toni Clark. She is the founder of Defenders for Children. And people should go to their website, defenders4children.org. And before the break, I think you made a really just a powerful statement about we have to want to change this. I think the whole purpose of this show is to let people know that it exists. It's something that's very distasteful. Nobody even wants to even broach the subject. But if we can spend, like you mentioned it before, that all the energy on Me Too, then if we'd spend just exposing this, there's nobody who would, in my opinion, who would fight against this, but we would have a monolithic voice to make a change. Now, I also wanted to ask, you know, this is something that touches people because if it happened as a child, it usually goes forward into adulthood. Do you know anything about statistics of people who have been abused and how many are likely to abuse other people? Because it has a self-fulfilling prophecy in some senses, doesn't it?
Right, right. Yeah, there is a recidivism rate in there. And back to, I don't like to usually quote too many stats, but, you know what I mean, because back to depends on where the numbers come from and on the reports and stuff. But they would typically say, you could see the numbers about 30-35% recidivism rates on child abuse. So if somebody has been abused and not receive help, they're at high risk of going out there and hurting more children. So, you know, but at other times I'll talk to people who are prison guards and they'll tell me that the stats are higher in prison on how many people are in there that have been abused. It's really tough. I can just tell you it's too many. Back to it's just too many and you are at risk. So if somebody is abused and they deal with this trauma and nobody believes them, they are at a higher risk of self-harming themselves or acting out on somebody else. So that's what we got to focus on overall. And just realize we're at risk one way or the other. So we have to help all children and we have to stop it. See, we're on the direction of finding ways to stop child abuse before it happens. There's so many wonderful, wonderful organizations out there that are working hard, trying to, you know, getting the counseling out there, trying to help the children, a lot of medical doctors, everybody's trying their darnest to help. But what are we doing to stop it before it happens? And that's what we got to really focus on now. Because all this money is going out there. You know, in 2010, when we first started the organization, you know, stats were high. Greenville had one of the highest rates of child sexual abuse. Well, now in 2020, guess what? We still have extremely high numbers in child abuse. We're talking about it, but trafficking's in there now, but the stats are still high. These children are still being abused. So what do we got to do differently? We have to find ways to direct ways to stop it before it happens and, you know, just block it in any way we can. We have to empower our law enforcement agencies to have the best tools also to, you know, to lock these guys up. So whatever we can do, we have to start on different approaches as well. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that, one of the tools that you talked about at the conference were the canine aspect, working with police organizations or police forces. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I thought that was really awesome.
Yeah, one of my favorite projects. A couple years ago, we heard about the Jared Fogel case, where Jared Fogel with Subway was arrested for child sexual abuse and pornography, and found out it was actually a canine, electronic detection canine, that found the evidence to prosecute him. It was really interesting. I'm like, because I stumbled on this article, and it's just like a small side little article. You know, because you remember when all that hit, everybody's talking about in the press about Jared Fogel and his bus, but very few people talk about this canine that was actually the tool that helped bust them. And what they are, they're new out of Connecticut State Police. They were the first ones that created these canines, and they will go out on a search after law enforcement goes in. What happens, law enforcement goes in, they remove all electronic devices that they can find, and then these canines will go in afterwards to find what is left behind. So it could be like hidden cameras, micro SD cards, thumb drives, burner phones, any other devices that usually the perpetrator would hide. Because they usually don't, the stuff that has the information or evidence on it, it's usually not going to sit right there on their counter or bed saying here, or they're not going to hand it over to the police. They're going to hide it. Mm-hmm. And the canines are the ones that go in. Just like the Jared Fogel case, the canines went in and was actually able to locate what they needed to help prosecute him. As one of our sheriffs would say, you know, finding this evidence can make a difference between, you know, 1 year to 10 years in prison. Can remain very powerful. We need the device. The device can make a difference between helping a child or not helping a child, because when they find these evidence, the missing evidence like that, it could have pictures of children that need, that could be identified. One of our cases where it was neighbor's children that were on her, kids that were coming over for play dates and was being filmed.
Oh my.
So, and if it wasn't for the evidence, they would not have known that. It's too easy to hide them. They're so tiny because some of those micro devices are smaller than your thumbnail. So they can hide it in the ceiling, in the floors, in the walls. It's pretty amazing. And people have to understand, you know, people say, well, how do they do that? Well, it's just like, the dogs are trained for bomb dogs, cadaver dogs, you know, we're familiar with all these other dogs with law enforcement, tracking criminals, you know, so these dogs can also do that, and it's pretty cool, and they're new. And so as the organization, we saw that this was a tool needed, and, you know, and it's up to us as a community to find a way to make sure law enforcement has one. And because, you know, just for us to go to our local sheriff's office and say, hey, you need this canine, you know, it costs a lot of money. So we formed a program called Operation 180 Turnaround. And we thought, you know what, this is a way the public can work together to take a stand and raise money to donate these canines to the agencies that are dealing with high levels of child abuse, child sexual abuse, child trafficking, and child pornography. And so we raise the funds, donate the canine to the agencies, and then they take over the payment, they take over the cost of the canines after that. So it's pretty exciting. And so far we've already, was able to place, and within 14 months we were able to, donate 3 different canines, to agencies dealing with, high levels of child abuse and trafficking.
That's pretty impressive.
Pornography, of course. Yeah, it is. What I really found that was really interesting too is how it's like law enforcement, the agencies know that they are at risk of leaving something behind, and it makes them feel better knowing that they have this canine. And if this is not against law enforcement, it's not their fault. They do a phenomenal job with what they have. But the canines just have this gift to go through and find something else. And that's amazing. And, every agency needs one. I mean, without a doubt, we should make sure every single agency that deals with child abuse and trafficking and pornography should have these dogs in place. And that's our mission. And it's all with the help of the public. You know, everybody's trying to get the word out, and we're trying to get people to donate from $5 to, you know, thousands of dollars. If somebody actually pays our maximum number, they can actually name a canine. How cool is that? You can leave a legacy. And yeah, you can imagine having a dog named after yourself or your company or somebody you really like. I mean, somebody, you know, that might have passed and you want to leave a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited. One of the main universities here has made such a donation, quite a nice donation towards our organization, and they are going to be naming a canine. I can't publicly tell you what the name is yet, but we're excited. There is going to be one that's out there. It's going to be named by one of our big donors, one of the first ones. So it's really exciting because everybody can – the way we look at it, it's you're hearing about it now, so are you going to do something about it or are you going to do nothing? And we're asking everybody to do something, help somehow. If it's just a dollar on up, help some way. And let us get the canines out there. They're remarkable. And one thing we have to understand, when I say, when law enforcement goes in there and makes an arrest, that one perpetrator can be hurting multiple children. Now, on the statistics side, they say an average, and you know, an average sex offender could be abusing up to 9 children. So that's a lot of kids.
Wow.
That you could be helping. So that's what you got to keep in mind, is that you're not just helping from one child. It could be up to 9. And then after that, it goes from 10 on to we up to about 40. And if you really look at some cases, it goes higher than that. So stopping every offender is very, very, very important. And then the children will feel safe, knowing that that person's gone. And I know a lot of listeners are out there right now have stories and they never told, or their perpetrator or whoever abused them is still out there, or they died before they could even turn them in. And we're trying to stop that from happening. We want to have the victims have the courage to be able to step up and knowing that there's even more tools out there to help arrest these guys. Or women. There are women that are also following in this pattern, unfortunately. But we need to do what we can, and we can only do this together, you know.
Yeah.
But it isn't. It's not the overall answer, but it is a way to make a big impact. And we got to keep in mind, too, what's kind of cool about it is what other program offers beautiful canines. And when I say canines, we usually use labs. Beautiful, gentle labs that can also be therapeutic, and they're wonderful with children too, so the children can pet them, approach them, and sometimes children are on site when the police go out there and do their search, or FBI, and the child can actually pet this canine and feel less scared and intimidated, because it is pretty scary also to have a law enforcement come in and start tearing something up, or doing their search to a child. That's pretty intimidating. So I'm sure you might have another question, because I could just keep going, going, going.
That's quite all right. Let's take our second break. You're Living the Solution.
Okay.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with the founder of the Defenders of Children. And Ms. Clark, you, before the break, you were really just speaking passionately about how we can all get involved. How do people who want to donate, what do they need to do to get that ball rolling?
Well, it's very simple. DefendersForChildren.org. Just go on our website. Learn more about the canines. You'll see some of the photos and images of some of the devices that they can locate and what our plan is. And, you know, just go on here and just make any kind of donation. You could just make one flat donation. You can go monthly if you like. And in some cases, we have people that create their own fundraisers. If you raise up to $1,000 or more, we put you on our task force list, and that task force list is just building and building. It's not going to go away. We're just going to keep building that list up. The more you raise, the higher you are on that list. And this is a way to get you to be a voice for us and the children. Because we could have churches that have donated. We have different social groups donate. You know, they'll do their own little fundraising. Everybody put some money in a pot. We had a guy raffle off tattoo, $1,000 raffle, and he raised, $1,000. And gosh, within 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a hair cutting salon that helped out with children's hair cutting salon. She raised close to $5,000. Just things like that, restaurants, whatever you can do is just, you know, step up and just help out somehow. You know, the more we raise, the quicker the canines go out there. And that's very important because as we're sitting here talking, there's a lot of children being hurt as we speak. And that's what's scary about it. And so it's very important to start creating a zero tolerance mentality, start pushing these perpetrators away from our communities, letting them know that we're going to do what we can to stop them, and also empower our local law enforcement agencies with the best tools as possible. You know, so that's what we ask you to do. Just do something, step up. Colleges can help, you know, businesses. We have plenty of companies that have been making donations as well. And we just launched this, the end of last year in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And we're growing pretty rapidly in a short period of time. It's pretty cool. And everybody has to understand, you know, when I say they find one device, one micro SD card, just for an example, one average micro SD card can hold up to 244,000 images of children being sexually abused. So that's a lot, you know what I mean? And, you know, there's more cards, SD cards coming out that are they're going to hold even more images, and they can also hold photos, videos, I'm sorry. So when some of these perpetrators are making their own videos, so the devices can also hold the videos. So it's important that they find the evidence before they can prosecute. And we've all seen those cases where we know that somebody is guilty and we're like, wait a minute, you just got a slap in the hand. Because if you don't have the right evidence or strong evidence, it's hard to prosecute. So that's why we need these dogs everywhere as much as possible. And Atlanta, I know your guys are based in Atlanta. I love to get, have about 3 to 4, donated in that whole area in Atlanta. So which would be needed, definitely needed help with the trafficking as well.
Now, in terms of once the child is rescued from this situation, do you know anything? What happens after? Do they go into a safe home? How are they helped psychologically and physically? Is there anything that connects you with that side of it after you've helped rescue them?
Well, on our end, we are not involved in that aspect. We're on the front side.
Mm-hmm.
We're here about the public, getting the public to help, connect and place the canines right now. Once we place those canines, we're not involved in the searches.
Okay.
At that point, the law enforcement is in charge of it. They just keep us posted on their searches and how many devices have been located and what's going on in that regard. The children will go into get help through the local advocacy centers, which, you know, they're usually with the professionals and the hospitals, depends on the area, and hopefully get the counseling that's needed. Now, sometimes it's somebody in the family, and sometimes it's not. So it could be a neighbor. So they're not always removed from their home because it might not be somebody within the home.
Gotcha.
As you know, a lot of times it is somebody they know and trust somehow. You know, and one thing I would definitely tell women that are listening, be careful with some of the boyfriends, because a lot of these cases are guys that come in and move in and around your children, and that's scary. Be really careful. Just make everything your business, watch your children, and always, always believe your child. Do not ever trust somebody else, an adult, over your child. When your child says somebody's abusing him, believe them and report. Do not let it keep happening. That's very important.
Absolutely.
You know. And it happens, unfortunately.
I know. I've heard of that. So is there any, I don't know, way that, it's hard to say, ask this question because I'm not sure there's an answer to it. Is there some sign or some inkling that connects these folks that you can say, hey, there's a trigger, I should be looking at something, something that can alert you that you need to start being more vigilant, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's your family member, aside from when the child has had an unfortunate issue? Is there any way you can tell that the person really shouldn't be around your child, or is it just the sixth sense?
Well, yeah, that's a tough one.
I know.
We did a video many years ago, how to spot a sex offender or a child predator, and there is no way. I mean, your instinct is powerful. You know, always go by your gut, number one, and watch out for signs. So, you know, we all have ways to really to tell if there's, I call them flags, red flags,
mm-hmm.
That something's not right. Go by your instinct. And then by all means, if there's somebody, an adult that seems extra friendly, that's really wanting to be around your children, you know, and be a little wary. Just watch that, you know, a lot of sex offenders, especially predators, they'll take months before they actually will act out on the child. They're patient, which is scary. They are very patient and, you know, they are very friendly. That's why they work their ways around. They're able to work their ways into the churches and other places, social areas. They are very friendly. So don't think they're evil people where all of a sudden you just say, okay, this person's totally evil. No, they're very friendly and outgoing. So that's what makes it hard. So to me, as, you know, a mother, I have two kids. I would never let my children alone with adults in most cases, especially, you know, the opposite sex, just
mm-hmm.
saying. But, you know, and back to, I'm not trying to just totally pinpoint the men. You know, there's a lot of wonderful men out there, but unfortunately, it's a higher percentage of the men that's hurting the children. And keep in mind, too, the boys are at just as much risk. You know, the statistics are going up higher on boys being sexually abused. So, you know, just gotta be very careful with it. And unfortunately, we're in a kind of society that it's happening and it is spreading. And keep in mind, a lot of it's starting from the internet. A lot of people they're going on, pornography sites. And then once you get on pornography sites, they become addicted, and then they get in, there's ways that these, sites start luring, the guys or adult women into these other areas. And so once you start going in there, you keep going, and, you know, you just gotta be careful all the way around. So if you have somebody in the household that is addicted to pornography, be careful. And if you do know somebody that is downloading child pornography, report it. Always report. Do not trust that. You got to be careful. You know, it's up to all of us to start speaking up, you know, and make it stop. So go ahead.
Well, when you do report it, are you reporting it to a specific branch of the police, or is it just a general call?
You could just call, you call the general, sheriff's office and let them know. You could call, just start with the sheriff's office. Depends on what district you're in and where it's at, and they'll guide you from there. That's what I would say, because most people are used to calling the police department. That would be the first place to call.
Okay.
And if you see photos and images, report it to the social media sites right away too. You know, always report. If you see something like that, always report. And don't think nobody's watching it, because they are. You know, report.
Okay.
You know, I report more things I see all the time. So, yeah, always report.
So it's vigilant.
And by all means, all parents, please stay in your children's business on those phones. The perpetrators they're talking to your kids. It's so scary how they're doing this. They're going on Instagram, they're going on Facebook, they're going on all these sites, and they are talking to your children. And unfortunately, you know, our children are naive. They're are gullible. We cannot trust that. And we don't expect the children to understand it because they don't and they can't. It's up to us to know exactly who they're talking to at all times. Be nosy. There's a lot of software programs out there that you can actually follow dialogue on who your children are talking to. Know what apps are getting into. Keep it up. Be a nosy parent is a good parent. That's why we look at it. You know, the kids can't handle it. They don't know. You know, so that's another very strong point that we have to keep telling parents over and over again. Make it your business. And if not, take the phone away.
By all means, any means necessary to protect your child. On that note, let's take our last break. You're Living the Solution.
You're listening to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George, healthcare consumer advocate.
From treatment of sinusitis with balloon dilation to minimally invasive office procedures to correct snoring, Peachtree ENT Center offers state-of-the-art care. We also specialize in price transparency. You'll know the cost of our ENT services before they're rendered, whether you have a high deductible plan or no insurance at all. Make an appointment today to find out why Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. Call 404-591-9100 or visit us at peachtreeentcenter.com.
We'd like to thank you for listening to Living in the Solution and invite you to subscribe and share it with your friends.
Welcome back to Living Solution. You know, before the break, we were talking about what parents can do. And you've empowered people to start being parents again. I think, it's a little different. My mom and dad were the head of the household, and I listened to them. Now it's almost like parents want to be their child's friend. And instead of being authoritarian about things, they want to be liked. And this is not a situation where you want to take a back seat, is it? You want to take the forefront in this.
Right. You have to take a forefront because actually the children have no idea what's out there. We do. And it's up to the parents to become more educated on this. And if you could Google anything about how to protect your children on social media sites. There's a lot of wonderful sites out there. But just, you know, take the initiative. Cause back to, you know, these kids are being trafficked. They are having photos taken. I mean, there's so much. These perpetrators, they'll travel two states away to go visit your child. It's scary. I mean, they will, you know, like talk to a child in South Carolina, but they live in Florida, and all they have to do is get that child to say, yes, I will meet you. Mm-hmm. And before you know, they're hopping in the car and they'll drive across two states. That's how desperate they are. I mean, these guys are. So, you know, back to usually guys. Sorry, guys. But, you know, we need to understand they're dealing with some pretty evil acts, and they're very determined to find children. So, you know, it is up to us to make sure we know who our children are talking to and educate your kids as well. Stranger danger is there on social media. It's kind of wild. And it's become harder for parents as well, which is sad. The phones have been, to me, one of the worst things that could have been invented when it comes to this realm. It's just fed into such evil acts against our children. And so we have to find ways to change that. You know, as you watch the news and all these horrible cases, it's getting pretty crazy, you know. But people can help. Learn about your children. Get involved, you know, help us, you know, put some powerful tools out there with the sheriff's office, you know, start using your voice, you know, let's start doing a call to action for the children. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the me too, but how about the hashtag, what about me, the children? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, it's very important. I mean, I just get frustrated because people don't want to talk about it. So, and it's time. It is time we start talking about it.
Well, you just described how important it is to talk about it because it is going to affect us at some point, whether it's somebody who's running foul of the law, someone who's become a predator, somebody who is emotionally devastated, takes it out on people. There's a lot of things from a societal standpoint that we're all going to, at one point or another, interact with in a negative way unless we stop it first And then the other flip side is if it happens, you have to get the person or the child help so they're not alone.
Right.
Now you have...
Well, some of these shootings, I mean, I hate to say this, some of those shootings, the kids who have come from a abusive background. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're all like, but you don't hear the press talking about that much. They kind of just go over it a little bit, but you're like, wait a minute, these kids that are going out there and doing the shootings, they are coming from, you know, very tough background. That doesn't mean everybody that's abused is going to shoot, but for some reason, these kids did that. Mm-hmm. But we want to stop that from happening again. You know, because a lot of people will turn around and go, just because I was abused, that doesn't mean I didn't do it. Well, one thing that we notice is very common, and not with everybody, got to be very careful with our words, that a lot of victims that have been abused had somebody in their life believe them and help them somehow, even if they didn't go into a therapy or get counseling or anything, they still had somebody. Somehow, some could have been a grandmother, somebody. Some people have absolutely nobody. And they just build up and then they pretty much act out in a horrific manner. Again, never an excuse. I mean, if you have a story and you feel like nobody cares, you know, you have to understand there are people that do care and you need to make that phone call and ask for help. And, somebody will step up and help you out, you know. Just don't act out and take it out on other people. You know, that's not fair. We need to just focus on stopping those who are hurting the children, not going after innocent victims, you know. Stop the recidivism on any acts of violence, you know. So, yeah. So if anybody wants to help out, get these canines out, you know, learn more about it, you know, defendersforchildren.org. It's a simple way to show you care and to make a pretty significant impact against what's happening to our children. And who does not love wonderful, friendly dogs? You know?
And
like I said, these are not bite dogs. Yeah. So they're beautiful dogs and they're just wonderful. And one other cool thing about these dogs, they're therapeutic for the law officers. The guys and women who deal with these cases, who have to look at these horrible images day in and day out, who have to see the abuse that happens to these children. They also need help because, you know, they deal with trauma as well.
Yeah.
And we've been finding that these canines are also therapeutic for them. And which has been very fascinating to see how much it has helped them. And one of the coolest things for us is when we walk in one of the sheriff's offices and they look up at us and say, you know what? The dog found a device again. We got it. We got him. And it led to children. That is powerful.
Because
they know they would have missed it. You know, they know that they would have missed that device if it wasn't for that dog. And that's huge. You know, so the public has the power to help make that happen. Let's make it where any search is made, there is no device left behind. Because that device left behind could be the evidence to prosecute the criminal for multiple years, stop him or her from reoffending multiple children, and also can help rescue the children. And that's huge. And it also can lead to other criminals, because sometimes the devices will have information. It could be a ring. It could be, wow, you know, trafficking gang. It can lead to other offenders. So it's important we do not miss one device. Very important. And the public has the power to help that.
Well, just when you describe one person might be attached to 9 victims, if you're able to take up a ring of, you know, 10, 15 people, that's really powerful. You know,
yeah,
if you think about it, I mean, you just have an exponential positive result by just helping this one dog get integrated into a police department. And
right,
obviously the dogs are... They are doing their job for years on end. This is not like something that's going to end in a year. We're talking 10 or plus years of the dog being in service, right?
Yeah, the dogs typically around 8 to 10 years that they can work. And also what's kind of nice about the dogs is that they also could be used in other cases, so not just children's cases.
Oh.
They could also be used in murder cases and gangs, you know, against gangs, drug cases, mm-hmm, any, name it. They could be used in any kind of cases, white crimes, white collar crimes. So if the agency has another situation or, murder or a serial killer, they can use the canines also with that. So when we place a canine, we're like, use them where you need to use them, just use them. Make sure you use these canines. So right now the agency's one of the ones in Greenville, they've been typically having like two searches a week, I believe they're going on right now. That's a lot. So we want to keep it that way. And then what they do, they open up to other local areas. So if you go online and you can see our press conferences, they will tell you that we're open to bring our canines to another location, another county if needed, another town that's local. So, because we're trying to blanket each state with 8 canines,
mm-hmm.
The states that are dealing with high levels.
Mm-hmm.
And this way, those canines can be shared, or if there's a big case, multiple canines can go together. It's uniting a lot of the agencies together as well. And it's also bringing more education also on where these perpetrators are hiding evidence. So it's kind of cool. They've been opening up a whole different wonderful world, on stopping these criminals. And if you're a criminal doing this, trust me, we're going to keep going.
Until there's no more.
We're going to stop this. We're going to stop this. This is ridiculous, and there's no excuse for it. These are children, and I'm going to kind of close in one area that just bothers me, because when it comes to children, we call it child abuse, child sexual abuse. We're talking about children being raped, and that's it. It's rape against a child. We're talking about the average child could be under 9 years old, 8 years old, babies. This has got to stop, and we need to start talking about it to make it stop, and we need to step up to help. And it's all on us. If it keeps going, it's our fault. It's all of our fault.
I think that's a really powerful statement. I personally think it's personal responsibility in a majority of things that we choose to do, and we choose to follow. We choose to take a stand about. This one, it's just been hidden for so long under the cover, so to speak. And we're spending a lot of energy on things that are taking away our freedoms most of the time. This is something that we can all get behind. This affects we're all in it together. And as we treat our children and our seniors, that's how our society goes, in my opinion. It's not, you don't want to be a society that harbors this. And we only have a minute left, so I want to make sure that you get your information. How can people find the website?
It's just Defenders with an S, Defenders, DEFENDERS, forchildren.org. And go on your search, learn about the canines, and go on Operation 180 Turnaround and see what you can do in your community to help raise funds. We're raising $23,000 per canine, and don't let that scare you. That covers the training, the handler training, the dog training, purchasing the canine, the works, and any other things that might be needed for the agency to implement the canine right away, because we don't want a delay. So when we approach the sheriff's office, we want to say, we want to raise funds, we want to have a canine place here, what do we need to do? So those dogs, once they're placed, there's no more funding on our end. We just place it, the sheriff's office will take over. So please find out what you could do. A school, Spirit Week, whatever. Churches, raise funds. Get your name on the list. The more you raise, the bigger impact you make, the sooner these dogs will get out. And if you can only, if you can only afford a few dollars, every dollar matters. So just back to, don't go without doing anything. We're a huge nation. We can stop this if we work together. It's time to stand up for the children. And if we don't, we should be ashamed of ourselves.
I think that's where we need to leave it, and that's a powerful way to leave it. Thank you so much, Ms. Clark, for coming on, and thank you for all
you
do. Everybody in this country owes you a debt of gratitude for standing on the front line and alerting us so that we can get involved and help you. So thank you. And
thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
And thank you all for listening to Living in the Solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.